This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. No body, no case. A prosecutor's worst nightmare. Did a wife's sex affair end in dismemberment after her house husband views cuckold porn? What is that? What is cuck porn? We're going to find out. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
Anna Walsh, a devoted wife and mother dedicated to building a better life for her family, mysteriously goes missing while her husband, Brian, is no stranger to troubling pasts, including a conviction for art fraud.
Evidence amassing in the disappearance of a beautiful young mom of three gorgeous little boys. Where is Anna Walsh? As the defense for her husband insists, no body, no case. As a matter of fact, his theory on where his wife is that she went to a spa. Okay, straight out to Dr. Cheryl Errett joining us, a clinical forensic psychologist specializing in trauma just like this. You can find her at AskDrCheryl.com. Dr. Cheryl, thank you for being with us. Many theories have been bandied about regarding the disappearance of this young working mom, Anna Walsh. Can I see a picture of Anna? She's absolutely stunning. There you go. I've got a ton of photos of her. If only she would come home from the beauty spa where she's been languishing for some time now. Dr. Cheryl, is it true that when a woman is ready to leave her husband or leave her partner, she's on the verge of leaving, that and when she is pregnant are the two most dangerous times for a woman? Why?
That is 100% true. And the reason that when she is either pregnant or ready to leave an abusive partner, that it is the most dangerous time is because he is losing control of her. And so he, in order to maintain control of her, that is when it is most often that she is murdered by her husband or partner or desired ex-partner. And women are overwhelmingly murdered by someone close to them, closest to them, a significant other, a family member. Men are most often murdered by strangers. So overwhelmingly, when there is a murder like this, the number one suspect tends to be the spouse.
So basically, any relations with men, you're signing your own death warrant. Because overwhelmingly, as you just said, Dr. Cheryl, and you're correct, and you're backed up by statistics, it's more likely that a woman is killed by an intimate partner or even a love interest. They don't have to be intimate. They could be dating. They could have had one date. They could be talking online. Doesn't matter. And another question regarding psyche, and of course, that's not my wheelhouse, okay? I'm not driving down that lane. You are. If Anna Walsh was murdered, and yes, I think she was, a lot of people will wonder why. Just like in the Brian Koberger case, a lot of people had a hard time connecting the dots that Koberger would murder four innocent University of Idaho students with no connection to him at all. He pled guilty. So all of you conspiracy theories that keep writing me online can stop. He pled guilty under oath. He did it. People will wonder why, in a seemingly loving relationship, would the husband get a wild hair up his you-know-what and murder his wife? Tell me about jealousy and anger that simmers below the surface when the husband stays home and the wife is the breadwinner.
There's a tremendous amount of envy and often feeling emasculated by this situation. This man was not able to move to D.C. and join her. She had a high-paying, high-powered job. He had some legal issues and some other problems.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me the husband gets upset that he doesn't have to get up out of bed and go to work every day? That is the cause for insane—hold on. I was about to say insane jealousy, but I'm hearing in my ear. Hold on, Dr. Cheryl. Joining me right now on the scene is Brian Fitzgibbons, the Director of Operations, USPA Nationwide Security. He leads a team of investigators all around the world, and you can find him at USPA_nationwide_security. Brian, thank you for being with us. You're not in the studio. Where are you? Explain.
Nancy, where I'm standing, I'm about half a mile from the residence that Anna Walsh, police say, was murdered and dismembered by her husband, Brian Walsh. So the residence is about half a mile down the road in Cohasset, Massachusetts, from where I'm standing now.
Okay, I've just got a quick question for the control room. Can I see that map very quickly? Brian Fitzgibbons is joining us near the scene where we believe Anna was murdered and dismembered. And I've never seen on top of a map, hubby watches kinky porn before wife disappears. Is that a city? Is that a county? Don't know why that's on the map, control room, but that said, we'll get to the cuckold porn in just a moment. Brian Fitzgibbons, describe the home where many believe Brian Walsh murdered Anna and completely disposed of the evidence. There is no body. And of course, Brian Walsh is running up and down the halls of the courthouse in glee. There's no body. And he thinks he will walk free. I beg to differ. Describe the home, please.
The residence is a single family, two-story home. It's a nice house. It's set back off of Route 3A in Cohasset, Massachusetts. So it is quite secluded and a quiet place to live.
You know, when you say secluded, Brian Fitzgibbons, all I can think of is the sound of a power saw. You stated that it's two-story. Does that include a basement? Can you tell from looking at the outside? Because in my experience, even though there were only three little boys at home that night that would have not had any idea about what was going on, for some reason, and we've seen it over and over, people retreat to the basement for nefarious doings. But can you tell if there is a basement?
There is a basement, Nancy. This is evident in police reports and just the standard type of homes built out here. These two-story colonial homes in New England all have basements.
Tell me about the neighborhood, please.
Like I said, the home, the address is actually Route 3A, which is the main thoroughfare in Cohasset. But the house itself is set back off the road about 300 yards down a private way. So there's not much of a neighborhood per se that there would be neighbors potentially hearing or seeing something.
I mean, Cohasset. Let me go to Ann Emerson joining us. Brian Fitzgibbons is on the scene there in Cohasset. Ann Emerson joining us, senior investigative reporter with Criminally Obsessed on YouTube. And she's the star of Unsolved South Carolina, The Murdoch Murders, Money, and Mysteries. Ann, thank you for being with us. Ann, that is stinking rich, you know, compared to where I came from on a dirt road in rural Georgia. But Ann, the median income is around $200,000 for the family. And I've seen Walsh's home. They were sitting pretty. I don't get it. He's got this beautiful wife, three gorgeous little boys. They're young. They're little boys. This gorgeous home, everything. And he doesn't have to work. He gets to lay around the house all day. What's there to complain about, Ann Emerson?
He's in big trouble, Nancy. He's in big, big trouble. He's in a federal investigation because he has already been found out to have been trying to send out forged Andy Warhol paintings, if you can believe it. And he is facing a federal investigation. He's facing a $400,000 restitution. His wife knows about it, and she's not happy. And she has been moving toward her home in D.C., but he can't leave. He's not allowed to leave. He's looking at a lengthy...
Wait a minute, Ann Emerson, this guy forges Andy Warhols, or he has somebody forge them, and then he sells them. I guess they came with those little certificates of authenticity.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely was trying to look like the good guy here, like the loving, wonderful husband and father that he was. But no, he was a criminal and he was already in trouble.
You know, I don't get it. High profile lawyer joining us, attorney and digital forensic investigator at Maurice Thompson Foresta. Thanks for being with us, Matthew. How can a wife or a husband be duped that profoundly? She had no idea she's married to a con man who's selling fake Andy Warhols. And not only that, he doesn't even fake it very well because he gets busted by the feds.
Well, some people are really good at being con men. I've had lots of cases where people are able, because they believe what they say, they're able to be confident in what they say and what they represent to other people, and they're very good at getting people to believe them. The problem comes when people stop believing them and they still believe what they're saying.
Guys, it all started when Anna Walsh seemingly disappears, as her husband says, to go to a spa around the holidays. I want you to hear what Walsh says. Let's hear from the horse's mouth.
She woke me up around 6 and said she was going. She came down. I guess Thomas heard her and came down, and she said, I have to go. And he said, I love you very much. And she said, I love you very much. And then he said, said that she left him in a taxi, but I don't think he saw it because it was further down. But if you want to talk to him, but he said it was a taxi. And I was like, he described the car. He said, well, I really didn't see it, Dad. So I was like, okay. So he was coming down to get, I think, iPad.
Maybe Anna said taxi.
Maybe she's my driver. But I know that she was not driving. There's no way she was driving a vehicle. There's like zero possibility of that.
I want you to listen very carefully to Brian Walsh explaining what happened to his wife. You know, Brian Fitzgibbons, I love nothing better, and you have handled so many investigations, than when I get a very long, detailed statement from my target. Now, for many years, it wasn't on video. There may not be a recording. And the jury, if there is one, had to just believe what the cop said. This is on recording. Now, he says he actually ropes in one of his little boys and says, oh, yes, my son saw her leave in the car. I'm not sure he actually saw, but yes, I think my son saw her leave. But I heard her say, here's my driver. That's a lot of detail, Brian Fitzgibbons. And the more detail you can give me, the more I can shoot you down. It gives me one more bullet.
Yeah, and it, as attorney Matthew Morris just said, you know, these con men are very confident. And, you know, as it leads towards almost like a narcissistic tendency to spin these stories that they themselves have come to believe, and they believe that they can convince law enforcement of what they're saying. And really what they're doing is digging their hole deeper and deeper and deeper with all of these details that won't be able to be corroborated.
Brian Fitzgibbons, you and I'm fascinated with this. I love it when a defendant takes a stand or gives a statement. The way that they lie, I was always amazed. I could watch Jodi Arias all day and all night, because it's like looking at a poisonous snake or a tarantula under a glass box. And I watch her lie, and she does it so well. She changed her story over and over and over to explain how her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend, Travis Alexander, was slaughtered naked in a shower. It went from one version to the next, including that ninjas dressed all in black came into the home and murdered him, and somehow she miraculously escaped. You got to hear the detail Brian Walsh is giving regarding that last morning his wife was home with him and the boys, okay? He even describes what she's wearing when she gets ready for her trip to the spa. Listen.
She probably got 2.5 or 3 hours of sleep.
Okay.
And then she, you know, then she gets up and you hear her like in the bathroom getting ready.
Yep.
And then it must have been 6. I didn't see the clock, but it was dark outside still. So.
Okay.
And that's when she came down. Then she does the final like cleans up and stuff like that.
You know. Okay. Did you sleep through that whole morning routine?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I I used to get up and she was like, you're going to be ruined. The boys are going to get up. So yeah. I was like, you're right. But she comes and kisses me.
She kisses him. All right. That she's getting up in her bathrobe after only 3 hours of sleep and she's getting ready to go. And she does a final cleanup and says, I love you. And then to Dave Mack, Crime Stories investigative reporter, he really steps in it because he talks about her calling, saying, I'm late, I'm in the car, my flight was canceled, so I'm going to have to drive. Is that what he says? Because, you know, calls from cell phones obviously can be tracked, Dave Mack.
You know, Brian Walsh, being the accomplished fabricator of his own stories, messes up big time here. When he starts getting into those very specific things, saying that she had to drive instead of catching a flight. Well, as you just mentioned, all of these things are trackable, but he doesn't realize her phone is not with her. It's not pinging with her anywhere that he claims that she is. And all of the things that he says are verifiable, and he just keeps digging the hole, Nancy. But again, this is not something that can't be proved because her cell phone is popping up all around Cohasset, around the home.
You know, another thing, Dave Mack, and I remember catching this two or three times a week to go to D.C. to be with Larry King. There are flights between D.C., Boston, D.C., and LaGuardia on the hour. On the hour. So his story is she was upset because she missed that one flight, so decided to drive to D.C. Wait, hey, just wait an hour. It's like a bus, and you can catch the next one. But more important than that is the fact that her phone pinged elsewhere. So he's just spinning it all out. And you know what, control room, you just showed me a photo, and I distinctly spot a bruise over her eye and a little scratch. So, wow, I wonder how that happened. Isn't it true, Ann Emerson, that Anna Walsh had called police before in fear that Brian Walsh would kill her?
It was a very unhealthy relationship, and it sounds like she was already in fear of her life, trying to figure out what to do next, and had, you know, been confiding that there was issues, that her life was a mess, and that she needed help. And, you know, it's so interesting to hear, you know, from a forensic psychologist about like what could be that this is the most dangerous moment of her life. I mean, we were coming to a head, weren't we? There was no way she was going to be able to take that kind of abuse anymore. She had hit her limit. Obviously, there was this moment that the dam was breaking, and that's really what we're seeing. This beautiful, gorgeous woman, very petite, and just so lovely that she would have to get to this point with a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old little boys in her home. We all know what it's like to get into something with somebody at home, like a argument with somebody, and you've got little kids at home and you're just trying to like not talk loud and not scare the children. And, you know, I can only imagine what this woman had to deal with up until this moment. It is just, it's beyond, Nancy. It's beyond.
Defense attorney Larry Tipton tells of the loving, wonderful marriage of Brian and Anna Walsh. Tipton says the couple becomes closer romantically as they take advantage of their limited time together when Anna comes home on weekends.
In the days leading up to Anna's disappearance, Brian becomes consumed by jealousy, obsessively watching explicit videos and spiraling into suspicions of his wife's infidelity. Could this have been the tipping point?
What specifically is cuckold porn? To you, Dr. Cheryl Errett, what is cuck porn?
It's pornography that eroticizes a partner cheating on you. And it can be voyeuristic of somebody watching their partner be with someone else, either with them in the room or them watching somebody cheating on somebody else. It can be a way of eroticizing that loss of control, a way of trying to gain control over this. But it is juxtaposed with this guy basically feeling this very common feeling of, if I can't have you, no one can. So I look at this like he went back and forth between trying to turn this into something sexual to gain control of it or to understand it, and at the same time couldn't tolerate it.
You know what, Dr. Cheryl, I really respect you, but I doubt pretty seriously he's watching Pornhub to get a deeper understanding of his wife's psyche. I'm not buying that. Listen. Mm.
3 days before Anna Walsh is last seen alive, a Pornhub video is viewed on Brian Walsh's laptop about a cheating wife. Tying into prosecutors' theory, Walsh knew Anna was having an affair.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Brian Fitzgibbons joining us, Director of Operations, USPA Nationwide Security. He's joining us from the ritzy neighborhood of Cohasset, where police believe Anna Walsh was murdered and dismembered. You know, you and I believe, agree, Brian Fitzgibbons, that there is no coincidence in criminal law. And I do not believe that Brian Walsh stumbled upon Pornhub videos, cuck porn, cuckold porn. You know, where it is, as Dr. Cheryl Errett said, romanticized, like the husband comes home and he takes off his jacket from a long day at work and whoops, there his wife is in this $500 Victoria's Secret ensemble with like another guy. Oh, I'm so surprised. And then he sneaks in the closet and watches them. I don't think that's what happened. And it's not that airbrushed on Pornhub. I don't think he stumbled across cuck porn on Pornhub. Like, when I turn on my iPad or my laptop, Pornhub doesn't just pop up with cuck porn. You have to find it, Fitzgibbons. You have to go look for it.
Yeah, listen, investigators are revealing a really dark and damning digital history of Brian Walsh, both from his computer and his cell phone, searches, internet activity on these pornography sites. This can't be a coincidence. The searches, the pornography, and then ultimately what happened to Anna Walsh.
And Matthew Morris joining us, high profile lawyer and digital forensics investigator. Matthew, how many times in child porn cases, because just a guy watching porn is not a crime. And if porn was a motive for murder, husbands, 50% of the husbands in the country would be on death row right now. But Matthew, the likelihood that cuck porn just pops up on your computer without you searching for it, you're the digital expert. How likely is that?
Well, it's definitely not going to pop up on your computer without searching for it. You know, when people are out searching for porn, they're using different kinds of terms. They're going to different kinds of websites. They're sort of following a trail, and they end up where they end up. And that looks like that's what happened here.
Okay, you know, I don't like what you just said, Matthew. They end up where they end up. It sounds like somehow you're on the way to the bakery and you just get confused and you end up at the gas station. No. N-O. Cuck porn, cuckold porn, where typically the husband finds out his wife is sleeping with someone and I guess gets into it watching them. That's a very specific type of pornography. You don't just end up there. You have to seek it out.
Yeah, I guess when I say you end up where you end up there because those are the words that you put into your internet browser, that you put into the porn website, and that's what came up, and that's what you watch.
Straight to Dr. Cheryl Errett joining me, clinical forensic psychologist. There's a whole Pandora's box of misogyny and psychoanalysis that I'm not equipped to make sense of, but you are. I'm imagining Brian Walsh watching this video, a cuck porn video, cuckold porn. What is a cuckold? It's a man whose wife is cheating on him sexually. That's what that means. So where would the theory that he is actually sadistic fit into him, Brian Walsh, watching a woman who's obviously his wife's substitute being raped or having sex with another man?
Well, degrading porn of a woman who represents your wife, there would be layers to that of sadism. We see, of course, the most profound sadism with actually cutting up your wife's body and dismembering her. But there are many layers, as you say, Pandora's box with this, what this kind of porn can mean. There are voyeuristic aspects. There can be sadism aspects. There can be masochistic aspects, as if she's my property, but this other man is taking her. There can be arousal looking at the man in the pornography. There are so many different layers to this.
You know what? Look around, Dr. Cheryl. Are you at Windsor Castle having tea with Camilla? No, you're not. You're on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. So let's not airbrush the truth. Juries don't like it. You said that he would get a voyeuristic thrill from watching the man having sex with his wife. You mean the man's penis. So is this kind of a Sean Diddy Combs scenario we've got going on here, where Combs would sit in the corner during freak-offs dressed in a burqa from here up, naked from here down, and watch somebody else, a sex worker, have sex with his girlfriend, i.e. Cassie Ventura? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
So it's bisexuality. Why not just come out with it? Why live a lie? Okay, so you've got that going on. You have the voyeurism going on. What is voyeurism?
Being sexually excited by watching other people have sex or be naked, things like that. Yeah.
Okay, again, let's not put perfume on the pig. This is not a work by Reuben, okay? Naked. This is a guy watching another guy have sex with his wife, to put it, again, euphemistically. So we've got him watching another guy's penis. I don't care. I'm not judging. I'm all about the murder, all right? And the fact that he's watching the degradation of a wife substitute just before she disappears to a spa. Okay, to me, that's probative. That means something. You have the sadistic feature of this, seeing the wife, Anna's fill-in, on video being degraded by a man. And you have the masochistic aspect of this, that he's humiliating himself, the man watching the wife have an affair. Okay, this is a Pandora's box. I mean, to you, Dave Mack, joining me, Crime Stories investigative reporter, when was he watching the cuckold porn?
December the 27th.
Okay, that's 3 days before Anna is last seen alive. The Pornhub video is viewed on Walsh's laptop about a, quote, cheating wife. Why do I care, Brian Fitzgibbons? I care because a jury will want to hear motive. Motive. And this tells me that Brian Walsh knew his wife was sick of her con man husband and was having an affair. That's what it tells me. He's watching a video about a cheating wife. He knows his wife's cheating. Is that such a leap?
Not at all. And, you know, prosecutors and investigators are going to build all of these circumstantial pieces around this story to paint a picture of the state of mind of Brian Walsh, the state of mind of Anna Walsh at the time of the murder, right? So this is very key to paint that picture.
Anna becomes romantically involved with another man, William Fastow, and Brian is looking for a way out. Anna is with Fastow on Christmas Eve and misses her flight back to Cohasset, ending up driving back home and missing most of Christmas with her family. Less than 48 hours later, Brian Walsh is online looking for favorable states for men to get a divorce.
In your mind, where do you think she is right now? You know, I like a lot of people have said maybe she's at a spa, you know, and she was under a lot of pressure. Doesn't really track with my wife. She loved her job and she loved her family, so she would always be focused on that. I mean, you know, maybe the country has, like in Bella, Serbia, but I have no idea. I'm having a hard time imagining.
Okay, wait a minute. Joining me, Ann Emerson, the star of Unsolved South Carolina, The Murdoch Murders, Money and Mystery. Ann, did he just say his wife could be at a spa in Serbia?
It's so ridiculous. It's almost like he's trying to like come up with different scenarios so that they'll just go away and stop asking him where his wife is. And the fact that they are that these investigators are immediately like, what are you talking about? I mean, it's not even like we've cornered him. It's like this has got to be one of the dumbest like ideas anyone's ever had
well,
as a criminal.
You know what?
Like,
he can talk about a spa in Serbia all he wants, but his Google searches tell a very different story. For instance, way to dispose of body parts after murder, how long before a body starts to smell, how to stop a body from decomposing, how to embalm a body, how long for someone to be missing to inherit, can you throw away body parts? Cool ways to be buried. That's my personal favorite. How long does DNA last? How about forever, Walsh? How to dispose of cell phone computer? Can luminol detect blood? Hello, yes. How to dismember a body? Can baking soda make a dead body smell good? Your spouse is missing and you want a divorce. There's more, but I want you to hear. Once police find those Google searches, those damning Google searches, this is his new explanation about what happened to his wife. Listen.
After entertaining friends on New Year's Eve, Brian Walsh sends wife Anna to bed while he cleans up. In the early morning hours of the new year, Walsh crawls into bed and nudges his wife. Anna doesn't respond. In that moment, Brian Walsh realizes his wife is dead. Sudden, unexplained death, a medical phenomenon that few people ever even heard of.
Joining me now, Dr. Thomas Coyne, Chief Medical Examiner, District 2 Medical Examiner's Office, State of Florida. He's a forensic pathologist. He's a toxicologist. He's a neuropathologist. I'd really like to talk to you about neuropathology, but guess what? I don't have Anna Walsh's head. No. Now, Dr. Coyne, we can assume without a body that these Google searches tell us that Anna has been dead and dismembered based on the search. How do you dismember a body? How do you dismember a body, Dr. Coyne? But first, what is this sudden unexplained death phenomena?
Yeah, there's no real basis for that diagnosis. I mean, in my line of work, the only way that I would call something undetermined or suddenly or unexplained, if you will, is after a thorough investigation. It's a diagnosis of exclusion. So the only way to arrive at that diagnosis is to do a thorough investigation, which includes an autopsy, which wasn't done in this case. So there's no basis to that claim that she died suddenly or unexpectedly. And now there are instances of persons with epilepsy. About 1 in 1,000 adults who have epilepsy can die in their sleep. And that's called SUDEP, or sudden unexplained death in persons with epilepsy. But there's no evidence here that she ever had any seizures or a history of epilepsy. So again, highly unlikely. There's just no real basis to that claim that she died of undetermined means.
Very often, when people, quote, die in their sleep, unexplained, we find out later there was an explanation. Yeah. I had a very, very dear friend I worked with in the district attorney's office. She was an ADA, died in her sleep. And I, you know, went off the rails claiming that was impossible. Well, it was impossible. This is what happened. She would take something at night to help her sleep, like Ambien or something. And she then took another pill because she was going to have oral surgery. And she had been prescribed the other pill and prepped for the surgery, and they combined and somehow killed her in the night. And there had to be a very exhaustive toxicology test to figure out what had happened. And then you have people like, I'm sure you're familiar with cult mom Lori Vallow and her crazy prophet husband. His wife, Tammy, died in her sleep. Turns out she was asphyxiated. So I'm not buying the die in your sleep of natural causes either, Dr. Coyne. So you think that's lame, correct?
Absolutely. It's very rare for a person to die without any cause, especially a person just from looking at her pictures. She seems very healthy, and we've heard no report of her having any underlying medical conditions. And so very rare for an adult person to die of undetermined causes. We have so many tools at our disposal to figure out that cause of death. So had there been a body, I'm sure we would have been able to determine which, and I think in this case, would have been murder.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Now to the Google search. How do you dismember a body? I think you know the answer to that, Dr. Coyne.
Yeah, I think, just coming out of Thanksgiving, it's very difficult, right? Think about a turkey, right? In order to cut through a turkey, you have to physically break the joint or disarticulate the joints that connect to the body and then use a very sharp knife to cut through those. So you have to have some underlying understanding of human anatomy to do that. But a human is much bigger than a turkey, so it's a lot harder to do. So it would be a lot of work, and there would also be a lot of blood. So you would have to do it in an area that you can effectively clean up or not leave any evidence thereof, such as a carpeted room. You'd want to have all of your appropriate tools in place. And so for a body, very often, in my cases that I've worked up, I've seen people use knives, saws, both electric and manual saws, as well as chainsaws or other bigger devices.
So his claim, go with me on this, Brian Fitzgibbons, his claim that he woke up and found Anna dead in her sleep next to him is belied, disproved, by his Google search. Ways to dispose of body parts after the murder. Murder? Well, he just said she died in her sleep. We also find out that he was obsessed with and searched for the trash bag killer, Patrick Kearney, a serial killer. He researches how to clean up the mess made from dismembering someone, and he even asked, do dishwashers remove blood? And if he should trash his blood-stained clothes. There's Kearney. He's a fine-looking fellow. But to Brian Fitzgibbons, that's a subtle but critical fact. He looked up, how do I dispose body parts after murder, not after finding my wife dead in her sleep?
That's a great point. And the defense here is asking us to take an incredible leap, right? To walk a long way to say that, number one, these searches exist, right? And explain those away, that this was just born out of a moment of panic, that his wife was found dead in the bed, and then his next move is to dismember her, right? This is a wild connection they're asking us to make here.
There are also photos we've obtained of the alleged cleanup. While we're looking at those photos, Dave Mack, what was found, and what can you tell me about video of him throwing out trash? Oh, my goodness. He was a busy bee, wasn't he? This must be a Black Friday sale because he's really stocking up on cleaning supplies. Dave Mack, what did he get? I believe it was Home Depot.
It was at Home Depot and at Lowe's. He actually was getting, he got a Tyvek suit. You know, one of the things you wear when you're cleaning up, hazardous waste. Of course, he got bags and he got all the cleaning supplies, bleach and everything you could possibly use to clean up a huge mess. But, inside the house, beyond finding, what appeared to be blood, they found a hacksaw, a blade, with what appeared to be blood on it. It was like everything they found had blood on it. And then you mentioned what was seen on video. Well, as the investigators were trying to check out the story that Brian Walsh was telling, they sent six investigators into the area where Walsh claimed he was. When he said he went to the grocery store, well, they sent detectives like, we're going to find out. And of course, they were able to find out he was nowhere where he said he was. But they've got him on video going up to trash cans, public trash cans, apartment trash cans, and dumping huge bags, sealed bags of garbage, just dumping it away all over.
There he is. I guess he didn't want to get caught in the rush hour traffic. he decided to throw out all those trash bags in the dark of night. And he's bringing back a lot of fond memories of another guy that murdered his wife. Allegedly, Fotis Doulos, may he rot in hell. He murdered his wife, the mother of his five children, Jennifer Doulos, and he and his mistress, Michelle Traconis, were videoed all around town throwing, oh, there you go, Fotis Doulos. I wonder how many times I've viewed this, throwing out trash bags, and he took the time to go to over a dozen public trash cans and get rid of trash bags, like Kearney, full of bloody rags, bloody towels, a bloody bra, his wife's bloody clothing, all over town. And gleefully, wingman Michelle Traconis, there she goes, she dropped her cell phone and had to pick it up. She's caught on video too. That sounds like a fun afternoon date. Let's go dispose of your wife's bloody clothes. And now this, dare I say, idiot, Brian Walsh, is caught on video, Dave Mack, throwing out multiple damning pieces of evidence. Where did he throw them, Dave?
He threw them in an apartment complex trash dumpster near his mother's home, where his mother lives. That's where he did it.
They all run home to mommy. You know, just for once, Brian Fitzgibbons, can somebody surprise me? You know, it's like people always are like homing pigeons. They go to where they're familiar. For instance, here's a great one I always use. Scott Peterson. Where does he dump his wife, Lacey, and their unborn child's body? In his fishing hole. That's where he takes him, San Francisco Bay. He goes to his old marina where he always goes. And he's spotted in his vehicle with the boat in the back and her body in the back of the boat covered up with a tarp. Surprise me. Where does this guy go? Mommy's. He goes to her location on this long, circuitous route, just like Brian Koberger. This long, circuitous route, he says he got lost on the way to his mom's. And along the way, he dumps all the evidence. What about it, Fitzgibbons?
And I'll add another one that you and I have both worked on, Nikki Chang, Saley McCain. You know, Tyler McCain back at his mother's residence on the Redding Rancheria right after she went missing. You know, we see this time and again. They're going to go to a familiar place. He probably believed that that dumpster did not have video surveillance on it, is my guess, that he was familiar with the dumpster and didn't think it was being surveilled.
Let's hear him try to talk his way out of this. Listen to Brian Walsh from the horse's mouth. I can't make this up.
There is dozens of searches on that iPad on the morning of the 1st that ask how to dispose of a human body, how to get blood out of hardwood floors, how to dispose of a body in the trash, how to stop a body from decomposing. And how do you explain that?
I have no idea.
How do you get blood out of hardwood floors? How to dispose of a body in the trash? How to stop a body from decomposing? Well, that's not all. Here he tries to rope in his own children.
How do you explain at about 4:54 in the morning, the iPad is querying the 10 best ways to dispose of a human body?
4:54
in the morning.
I have no idea.
Thomas is asleep.
Thomas is in his room with the iPad. Thomas is usually in. I mean, I don't use that iPad, so that's really weird.
Yeah, that is really weird, Brian Walsh. We wait as justice unfolds in a court of law. If you know or think you know anything about Anna Walsh's murder, please call Cohasset PD 781-830-4990. 781-830-4990. And now we remember an American hero, Sergeant Terry Mashkow, Indian River County Sheriff's, shot in the line of duty, serving 25 years, leaving behind a grieving husband, a daughter, and a stepson. American hero, Sergeant Terry Matchcow. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.